Hey everyone, really great show today. We end up actually having a longer discussion on the Utes project by Dust Labs on Solana specifically. We hear both sides, the people that feel that everything is all well and good in the Utes ecosystem and other people that feel that the technical delay is a major, major cause from concern. We also have special guest OX Maki, the co-founder of SushiSwap, on the show to discuss the Ethereum merge and what its impact on NFTs and Ethereum in the future could be. Overall, a fantastic show. Really hope you enjoy it.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, September 21st, and you have tuned in to the NFT Morning Show. This show runs Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, where we talk all things NFT market. We talk about NFT trades that are going well, NFT trades that are clearly going to zero, and all of the stories in the NFT space. Some days we have some really, really dope guest speakers. Today just might be one of those days. And as always, if you're interested in speaking on the show, request to speak. It is not an opportunity for you to promote yourself, your brand, or any financial assets that you own. But you have, if you have a genuine interest in creating content and contributing to a discussion that's focused on the NFT and crypto markets, definitely, definitely, definitely request to speak and come on stage. As always, I'm your host, Pio, here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, the funniest man in the business, Signal. Some of the classiest writing in the business comes from her. Easy Eats Bodega, a rising star on Solana, a Solana celebrity, if you will, and the creator of the Bodega Buddy, soon to be released Solana collection. Spencer Gordon Sand with probably the most badass moonbird you've seen. I'm sure he's going to have some cool stuff to talk about soon. Quadzilla joining us today, representing, I was about to dox his location, but I don't know if he wants me to. We got Torta on stage, a valued member of the Nifty community, a contributor in CoinTraders, so I'm sure we'll get some technical analysis from him. Mr. Long, another member of the Nifty community. I'm sure we're going to get a Discord roundup from Mr. Long. And Jesse, the biggest degen lawyer that I know, and an active market participant. So it's going to be a good one. We're really excited to get into it. Again, this is a market and trade focused show. Before we go any further, how's it going, Quad?
What's up, baby? It's just another Wednesday, you know? Just getting ready to, I don't know, just take on the day. I got my coffee, nice slurp for the morning, and I'm just ready to go. You know, I can tell you that. And you can dock my location. I'm in beautiful, gorgeous, way too fucking hot Austin, Texas.
Okay. That's where I know I'm. Austin's got that good coffee. You can get some good coffee if you're down in Austin, that's for sure.
The best coffee in Austin. Austin is a very privileged coffee town. So if anybody's headed to Austin, shoot me a DM. I am happy to give coffee recommendations. I'm a little bit of a coffee nerd.
Yeah, Austin is like if you took Williamsburg in New York or if you took like Echo Park in LA and just made a whole city out of it and then also added really, really, really good Southern barbecue done the right way, then you kind of have Austin. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. There's nothing like some good old Southern barbecue. The way they do it out here is unbelievable. You got to get in line like 4 or 5 hours before they start or you ain't getting no Southern barbecue out here.
Yeah. During COVID, I was able to snipe some Franklin barbecue without any line because, I don't know, no one was in town. I was just like, all right, cool. I'm going to get some Franklin barbecue. That works. We got Easy Eats Bodega on stage. He's out in Miami, another very dope city. Easy, are you all settled in? You've been there for a few weeks now, right?
Yeah, I mean, do you ever really get settled in Miami? It's one of those places, you know?
So are you living that Miami life now? Like, do you have like a popped collar and a blowout and like some really big sunglasses and like a red suit?
No. Actually, it's a button down, but you only button the bottom two buttons. I have a massive Cuban chain. And I've been smoking cigars for breakfast.
I like that. Are you playing dominoes with all the old Cuban guys?
Yeah, a lot of dominoes and a lot of pickleball.
All righty. Well, you know, I got to throw to my co-host, Nifty Nick. Nifty Nick, what's going on, amigo?
Just thinking about pickleball and playing it. I have not been playing. That's like the hip thing at the moment. So it's not for old people only. Easy's out here fading it, but it's like apparently the thing to be doing at this moment. Maybe that's just because I know more old people now. Maybe that's just indicative of my age. more so than anything else.
I think you just verified that it's an old sport.
I played it last time I was in Austin. It's a fun sport. I mean, I don't think I can play it anymore because I feel like you can pop your Achilles playing that thing. It's just basically tennis.
Well, I mean, you could also pop your Achilles just walking. I mean, that's like an option as well. I just feel like, so you like indefinitely, or you're just saying until you recover?
I don't want to play tennis, basketball, football, soccer, pickleball. I don't want to play Achilles rupture prone sports. I just want to get back to martial arts. I'll be happy if I get back to martial arts.
I don't understand. So you're going to be kicking people, but you're not willing to just like shoot some tennis. You know, tennis doesn't always involve. Is that like a common sport for rupturing your Achilles?
Yeah, it's actually one of the top ones. You know, martial arts, you worry about your knees, you worry about your shoulders. You know, in BJJ, you worry about your neck and stuff like that. But Achilles is a little bit rarer. Sometimes you encounter it with Muay Thai, but because you're barefoot and you're on mats, it's not the same thing as putting on sneakers and being on hardwood or sneakers on a tennis court.
Yeah, I'm doing none of this, so it's kind of irrelevant, but I have looked into the pickleball because I have more and more people that keep mentioning it to me, and I'm just like, I got to try this out. It's basically tennis with a softball.
Yeah, I feel like you could have some goggles on. I could see you doing a little bit of pickleballing.
Are the goggles necessarily?
They're not necessary, but I picture you. I mean, you wear goggles while you ride your e-bike right now. Am I wrong about that? Am I not correct?
Yeah, and you got an e-bike. Well, I don't. That's like normal activity, though. If you're riding on your bike, you either want dust in your eyes or you don't. I did see you riding without it, which is just a complete hazard. You know what happens? A bug gets you right in the eye. Next thing you know, you can't even see, and you don't even know where the bike is. You just roll into an intersection. Bam, it's over.
Well, I feel like the goggles are only necessary if you're out here eating other people's dust on the roads, which I know that you are. And I'm not commonly out here eating other people's dust. I'm making other people eat my dust.
I'm literally looking up photos of pickleball players, and some of them do have it is pretty funny. It is literally pictures of old people with goggles on. So I guess this is the standard at this point in time.
Your punk has goggles. Your ape has goggles. You're going to wear goggles when you play pickleball.
It has a VR band, but yeah.
Goggles.
I get what you're saying. I spent like 40 minutes last night making a song for this show, and it just wasn't ready, and I'm just very disappointed.
Well, first of all, I'm excited as hell that you were inspired to make a song. That just literally gets my rocks off. Like, ladies and gentlemen, whenever Nick is inspired to do anything creatively, that's basically the most excitement that I have in my life because it's always just so fucking good, especially if it's a song. So you take your time with that song, amigo.
I'm like crafting a hit song. There's a chorus. You got multiple verses. I'm just like, what? I got in a little deep, I think. I picked a song, got inspired, and then was just like, this is going to take too long.
I mean, you're trying to make a hit record, and if you talk to like guys like Rick Rubin and Timbaland and, you know, Mark Ronson, they're going to tell you, like, you don't just sit there and make a hit record. A hit record comes to you, you know, so you got to give it time, my man.
Okay. Well, this one is definitely directionally down that path, so I'm really excited because that was the goal. The goal was to make a hit record. That was the outcome. It wasn't just like, hey, I'm going to make this for one show. This was, I'm going to make a full-blown record. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at this moment in time.
Well, look, Mark Ronson recounts the process of him making that song with Bruno Mars, the one that Don't Believe Me, Just Watch. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. I actually literally don't know what song you're talking
about. Don't Believe Me, Just Watch.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, that song, I forget what it's called. It's not called Don't Believe Me, Just Watch. It's something like that.
Isn't that Bruno Mars?
It's but the song, like the music, is made by Mark Ronson, and it took him like
it's
forever.
Uptown Funk is the name of the
Wait,
song.
Wait, Pierre, are you singing or are you playing it? I can't tell.
I was playing the record, well, yeah, Gene. Thank you very much.
Amazing. Yeah.
Anyway, Mark Ronson basically followed Bruno Mars all over the world, and you know, any free minute that Bruno had when he wasn't on stage performing in front of tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, eating at the best restaurants with company like models and fashion designers, and doing cocaine everywhere. I'm assuming Bruno Mars just doing
that's
cocaine.
What I was doing last night in an attempt to sort of like set the stage. I said, you know, these singers, they just do immense amounts of cocaine. Get me the cocaine, Coke Man. that was what I was saying last night.
Is that what Bruno Mars does? He just summons cocaine with his Coke Man, and he just does it in a very polite way like that. It could be. But, you know,
apologies to the kids that are listening right now. Never do drugs. That's a bad thing. And I would never do that. Okay.
But anyway, Mark Ronson ended up borderline hospitalized in the process. He was basically sacrificing his body to create that song. I don't really understand that part. I'm like, I don't really understand how you literally almost ended up hospitalized just because you were trying to figure out how to make a song. But that's what it takes to really make a number one record. You have to almost be hospitalized.
I was working so hard on a song that I broke my leg. How that went down, how did that go down?
They found him like in a bathroom. They were like at a restaurant and they found him in the bathroom like passed out. I was like, I don't totally get how that happened.
I mean,
from like, yeah,
it could have been stress. I mean, he could have just been stressed out, and then he went a little too hard on the singing, and he had you know, maybe it was more mental challenges where he was having just pure panic and fear that he would never amount to anything with this song that he was grinding out, because he hit a wall. Let me tell you, last night I was there. I was inspired. I was singing some songs or some various verses, spitballing it. I've watched, I don't know if you've seen that. I love watching these like making of documentaries with various musicians. The Metallica one's pretty good. The Foo Fighters one I saw, and Dave Grohl like walks in a sound booth and they're like, all right, give us a verse. And he just like says something and it's like a half a sentence. And I'm like, what? That was it? That was how he like came up with that song, that line? How weak is that? That's some bullshit. But here I was last night being like, man, I can't come up with this phrase. I need something to fill in the spot, and I can't come up with it. He just goes in there and he's like, "Ding-a-ling, ding-dong," and people are like, "Holy shit! Oh my God, the brilliance of this man! He is a genius." And I don't know, but it is interesting to see that. And now I look back on that, being like, "All right, it's not like that easy, just to produce a hit song."
say it's not. Yeah, I'd say it's not. And I picture you with like a mustache, and maybe we can get you to literally grow like some your own version of an afro, and get you like some pink sunglasses, and we'll just have you be like the music producer character. I love it. And before you know it, I feel like you're going to be making hit songs like this.
Like
one.
Maybe we can make you 6'5" and absolutely jacked. Like, these are other things that I picture myself as, but it's just not materializing, Pio.
I think it's possible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into the NFT show. We're about 20 minutes in. I don't think there's been a minute of discussion around NFTs.
Are you playing music?
That we were just talking about a minute ago playing in the background right here, Nick. I hope you can handle it, or I hope that Mark Ronson's efforts don't bleed into yours this morning and you don't pass out while we're doing the show. We have a special guest that's going to join us today. I'm excited to get him on stage. He'll be on stage shortly. But before we go any further, why don't we throw to the wonderful Signal to discuss the weather report for the day. Signal, please take it away.
Morning, folks. We got Wednesday, the 21st of September. Open sea volume overnight came in at 13 million. So we've got a nice little uptick from the weekend when we were pretty flat. The volume as well across X2, Y2 and other marketplaces are supporting the levels. So we're seeing good volume there. Onto the leaders, the most notable changes are Apes and Mutants. We'll dig into why in a moment. Everything else is relatively flat. Over the past 24 hours, so Mutants are leading the OpenSea ranks. The reason for this, there's been speculative pricing predictions that are coming in around ApeCoin. People are saying that it could generate up to 6 times buying flows. We're seeing
people are saying it. People are saying it could,
and we're starting to see it in the price action. The floor on mutants is already at 15 ETH, and apes are sitting at 77. The dogs are moving up, and ape is holding well. We have a space with Horizon Labs happening tomorrow, along with ApeCoin DAO, so there'll be more news there. On to Azuki. Azuki continues to hold a floor above Clonex, Doodles, Moonbirds. They were sitting just around 11.5 ETH earlier today. Beans also doing extraordinarily well. They're at a 20K supply and just over 1 ETH. Lots of speculation. Big announcement coming, and we think it's happening sometime between now and the end of the week. Onto the fine art market, Fidenza creator Tyler Hobbs and co-artist Dandelion Wist, they are hosting a competition to win a QQL mint pass. All you have to do is create a piece on the QQL platform, a little bit of tweeting, and off you go. The submissions will be evaluated by a panel of judges, so do your best work to be a winner. But if you do win one of those mint passes, you can probably expect to be sitting on an asset worth anywhere between 30 to 50 ETH. I think it's worth the time. And lastly, Atari, the gaming company, is out with another collection, a 2.6K commemorative collection to celebrate 50 years of Atari. This is probably their fourth, fifth collection, but it's done surprisingly well considering it minted at 0.19 and was sitting at a 0.3 floor. If you look at their other collections, they haven't done so well. And I remember in a 1 ETH challenge, Kix got absolutely destroyed buying those Atari NFTs. On to crypto, pretty flat here. I think we'll be holding until we get more news from the FOMC later today. Overall, we heard on the show this week that the Fed remains hawkish, but we have seen rallies in crypto as people often overestimate how bearish the news will actually be. So expect to see some volatility, but I imagine after the NFT market cools down, it will be back to business. So for now, that 24-hour forecast is windy with Hurricane Powell out at sea, and we'll see if it hits land later today, causing any impacts across the NFT markets. Back to you, folks.
Absolutely fantastic weather report, Signal. As usual, some additional updates from the Nifty Daily Digest, which is the newsletter that's written by Signal 5 days a week. You can subscribe at thenifty.com. Pudgy Penguins have waded their way over to Magic Eden. The collection is leveraging the platform's new cross-mint functionality, allowing collectors to purge Pudgies in their ETH, Soul, or get this, with credit cards. So more payment options arriving in the NFT space. Cross-mint options, omni-chain options. I believe our guest speaker knows a little something about that, so that's exciting. OK Bears, a Solana project, is venturing into the retail world after appointing IMG as its exclusive global licensing representative. The president of licensing at IMG said, OK Bears' brand message and values have resonated with people across the world, and we plan to ensure these are celebrated and reflected in a range of creative collaborations and products. Easy, you know anything about this?
Yeah, the IMG thing?
Well, just what they're aiming to do. Is it going to be a clothing line, like toys?
No, it's more just marketing in general. So we're not quite sure the exact specifics. They had a town hall yesterday. I brought this up on the show yesterday morning, and we just kind of were like, oh, yeah, sick. But they pumped like 20 soul after finally like the news settled. So it's more just going to be branding and IP in general. And I believe that right now they haven't released the specifics of what IMG is getting from it, but it was not paid like directly. It wasn't like the Bears paid IMG. There's some form of partnership on this. So, I mean, it's interesting. We had a massive conversation yesterday about like what this means for IP rights and in general, why this is valuable longer term, especially if the Bears end up in say a commercial or some other big avenue. IMG also backs a ton of huge things. I mean, if you know Angry Birds, the video game, they were behind the marketing efforts of that game. And a ton of other things. So there's a bunch of athletes that are backed by IMG as well. So it doesn't surprise me because Lonzo Ball has a partnership with OK Bears. So I think this is just a huge win for them, especially considering they haven't done much else.
Damn, some action going on with OK Bears. Another news story starting from today, OpenSea supports Arbitrum and are onboarding leading projects and creators, including Smallverse, Diamond Pepes, and others onto the platform. So Arbitrum making some moves here. A couple more, Process Gray, depends on if he's English or not. The artist behind Goblin Town's distinct style is hosting a free masterclass for the community. Process Gray will walk participants through how to illustrate Goblin Town style art, and all levels are welcome. And last but not least, despite market conditions, NASDAQ, the second largest stock exchange in the world, is launching a digital assets business aimed at institutional investors. The business unit is going head-to-head against Coinbase, Fidelity, and Gemini by offering crypto custody services for Bitcoin and Ethereum. Everybody getting into Web3 while the bear market is happening. Spencer, I saw you had your hand raised during our little OK Bears discussion there. Was there something you wanted to contribute on that subject?
Yeah, there was something exciting. If you went to the IMG website yesterday, actually OK Bears was like the whole homepage. And IMG is a pretty big, it's like a top agency in general. So I think that was a really cool thing to see was it, you know, because we saw like previously, like on ETH side, we've seen CAA rep Cool Cats. And I think that's probably a pretty similar agreement to the type of agreement that is had between IMG and OK Bears. But IMG is really very much a top tier agency. And so to have them dedicate their whole homepage to an NFT project, I thought was cool to see. But what was funny was, they actually flipped the picture of the OK Bear on their home site, so it was facing the other direction. So it was actually a not OK Bear.
It was funny you say that, too, because Kais, the founder of OK Bear's, comments, and there was a ton of funny comments about it, but he was like, by the way, we own the IP rights to both directions. So, like, he was playing into it, too. Like, it was pretty funny.
That's actually wicked funny. Like, you know, our culture, you know, there's so much that's focused on what direction the profile picture is facing. But someone from IMG, like, they're just like, oh, no, it should face the other way, like, for this website design. They don't understand, like, the deep significance of something like that, right?
Precisely.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of action going into crypto as we go into this bear market or continue in this bear market. Spencer, I have a question. So you are, you know, obviously deploying capital into the space, have been, continue to. You posted the other day, you can't wait for everybody with NFTs to capitulate so you can buy their bags. You bought a second CryptoPunk recently. What is your exposure level to, you know, Solana NFTs?
I'm not exposed to Solana NFTs. I minted Utes as my, that was the first thing I did on Solana, and I sold it maybe like 5 minutes after I minted it. But you know, whenever, maybe if there's one of our fabulous co-hosts does a product on Solana, I might ape in there. But for me, my biggest challenge with Solana is that I like to have long, time horizons for my investments. And I think it's harder to find good long-term buys. And then also the large profits, it's harder to do at size. So because the market cap of most of Solana products is lower, even if you have a 2 to 3x, for someone who's managing a portfolio of the size of what I'm managing, it sometimes is harder to find meaningful returns in those. Not that it's impossible, but I don't know. That's my take on it currently. Although I'd like to move more towards it.
Okay. I mean, easy. Do you think that's a fair assessment from Spencer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I certainly think that there's a variety of projects at the moment that are starting to become like a little bit more established for like longer term time horizon. I think even the OK Bears setup right now gives an opportunity for a longer term horizon, especially considering this partnership, if you want to take a swing there. But there's a bunch of other projects that have raised or are currently raising VC funds. And I know that the speculation that 90% of Solana projects are rugs kind of gets eliminated when you now have a public entity that's backing it. I mean, I even talked to a couple projects yesterday that are from Fortune 5s that plan to be launching on Sol now. So I think there's just going to continue to be more traction. We've already eclipsed ETH in number of total transactions on Sol, especially from a trading standpoint. So I think it's just a matter of time until we keep seeing more of that shift. And clearly a bunch of people and companies are starting to weigh Solana as a viable option.
Well, Easy, you faded my Just Apes, and just want to let you know they're back to break even. So suck on
I'm
that.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. They're also going to be in both the Hudson Yard store and the Wynwood store with their merch. So they've released merch quicker than 95% of projects. So I think they're getting a little pumped there. They'll be all over the digital frames inside of the Solana Spaces store starting, I think, October 1st.
Damn, getting some IRL store exposure. I'll be at a Solana store, but that's definitely interesting. We got to go to that Hudson Yards location. And Easy, I know you got to go to that Miami location. That'll be a jam. Gene Parmesan, Mr. Cheese, has his hand raised. What's going on, Gene P?
Yeah, I just want to point out, I mean, the guy's basically saying, you know, sorry, I have too much money for you Solana pores. Also, I mean, I didn't realize 90% of Solana NFTs are rugs. That's what people think. I mean, that's amazing. I thought it must have gone down.
They do say 99% of projects are going to zero, so I think that's a better hit rate than we've seen on some of these other chains.
Yeah. Okay. Look, not all rugs. Not everything that goes to zero is a rug. If everything that went to zero were a rug, there'd be a lot of lawsuits or something going on. A lot of things just go to zero because there's just no appetite.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I was going to make the joke that 90%+ of Ethereum NFTs are rugs. And sorry, I just spoke over somebody right there. I don't know who's trying to speak.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that like another thing I do is I venture invest a lot. And in venture, 94% of companies fail. So, you know, like 90% would be quite good.
It's just how it goes. I'd rather bet on somebody that's going to give an honest try versus someone that just gets bored after a few months and, you know, ends up just like not working anymore. Although sometimes I feel like those can actually still work out. It's a weird space. Jesse, you have your hand raised. What's going on, amigo?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they could be rugs when they have this amazing official title, like with EZ yesterday saying there was a project and the CEO was some guy named Adam or whatever it was. I love that one. It's like, yeah, okay, I got it. I have this new multi-million dollar project. We got the CEO, Frank. Hey, yo, Frank, get over here. He's working on my carburetor. Hold on. We call him CEO now. He gets a kick out of it. Like, it's not exactly – that wasn't exactly reassuring. But can we finally
– Yeah, that was pretty funny.
The whole Frank and Newt thing was just a giant marketing Ponzi. Like, I was seeing all these threads. It used to be Bored Apes. They would do their first thread ever, spool, point, 10 reasons why they're geniuses. And then the Soul People came out. Here's 10 reasons why Frank is a genius. And it was just like, yeah, he came up with, he clearly has a gift for marketing. But it was just a bunch of creative ways. Instead of doing like a raffle, now you do like this Ute list. And then I get on Twitter every day and he was transparent, but that there's no there. Like what's different about this other than it was a giant marketing success?
The 120 Soul floor is a little bit different, I guess you could say. It's been maintaining some beautiful price action. But Kix, I know you still hold your Utes unlike some people on stage. You plan to reveal it?
What do you mean, unlike some people? Who sold?
I can't even tell you that. Like, you know, like, if I don't know, like, never know, you know, like.
Wow. Who is that?
Wait. Is that actually Kix? Like,
who is
I can't even.
sir, did you take Kix's phone?
What's up?
Kix, well, this sounds like you. Who was that was just speaking?
Shit, I don't even know. Like, I can't even tell you that. Like, you know, like, if I don't know, like, never know, you know, like.
Am I talking to Nate Diaz? What is going on here? Kix with the voice transformer. Very cool stuff. Nick, what do you think of that?
Boy, he front ran me. Clearly had some inside information was the first thing. But I feel like he's playing the same loop. It wasn't even a voice transformer. He just played the same loop. I'm pretty certain.
Yeah, that's Long Neck for y'all that don't know. He's an influencer.
That wasn't. There you go. I don't even know. You know.
Wow. Well, that was pretty good. Gene Parmesan, I don't even know where we're at in the conversation now. I got so thrown off by that. Gene Parmesan, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Someone a couple people ago said, you know, the only thing Frank or Utes were good at is marketing. And that's like saying the only thing the 9/11 hijackers were good at is flying planes into buildings. I mean, you know, marketing is sort of the thing, right? Like, you know what
you went with that joke. I mean, you decided to throw that one in.
Gene Parmesan,
he's testing the waters with that one. That was a little aggressive.
Gene Parmesan taking the risky joke dial to 10 and then maybe dialing it all the way to 0 right after. Get away with that. I couldn't get away with that, Gene.
Well, I mean, look, he's making
me look like Carrot Top all of a sudden. This guy is on another.
All I'm saying is marketing is sort of what the space is about. Like that's the one way you can kind of differentiate. Like we've all figured out that there's pretty much no such thing as utility except for the Nifty portal. And so, you know, it seems marketing is like, you know, that's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, look, so what really happened here, Easy, if we break it down, the one of the better, if not one of the best marketing campaigns that we've seen in the NFT space was Utes. It was led by Frank and the D-Gods team. And then was it a little bit of a technical mishap, like, not prepared to actually roll things out at the dates that they declared? Is that just kind of the objective reality?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, like, I feel like that marketing effort has started well before Utes. Like, they went from an 8 to 140 sold floor in 60 days. So, and that was before we even knew Utes was minting. So, like, clearly they've been working on something and kind of delivering something there. So, I don't know if it's just the Utes marketing play. But yeah. Overall, it's still just, like, I think it was some technical difficulties. I think that they felt a time crunch because they had already delayed for 3 months. And the memes at the time were like, holy shit, do we get Utes before 2023? And sure enough, they just minted. And like I said, even when I asked Frank on a space, I think it was 2 nights ago, when are Utes revealing? His response was, when they reveal.
So my favorite thing about Utes is like occasionally on Twitter, I'll see it come across my feed and someone will be like, oh yeah, you guys remembered Utes? Yeah, what are Utes up to? Like, yeah, I told you I was so right about that. And like, I go check the floor price. It's like, oh, okay, it's still like a 5x.
Yeah, it's dropped 4 soul from 126 to 125.
Like, yeah,
God forbid.
It makes it sound like it said 20 soul. They're like, yeah, man, remember Utes? Can't believe you guys got into that one.
I'm still just holding. I'm just trying to figure out who sold. You know, who sold there?
Over to Signal with her hand
Wait,
raised.
Was
What's
that
going
PO?
On,
Did
Signal?
PO sell?
No, I was just going to say, like, I'm with Parmesan cheese. Parmesan on this. Not so much the 9/11 part, but the other part about marketing. Because, like people talk about things saying that what this space needs is innovation. The space doesn't need innovation. That the technology is on the edge. You can't get more cutting edge than what is happening right now. Blockchain, AI, machine learning, like everything is happening here. But what is missing is the marketing. And what Utes did, it is so hard. Like, you speak to projects and they're like, how can we get more attention to our project? You know, do you know anyone who works on projects that have successfully grown the Twitters and have been managed to get the right people to follow it? It is extremely difficult what he did. He just made it look easy. And I think people still underestimate him because he's a young guy. He's just like shooting the shit, talks really relaxed. But what he pulled, what him and his team pulled off, that's what the space needs. More of that, like, good quality attention calling that can bring people from outside the space. And you'd be like, this is really cool team. They're doing this. And then if Utes go on to do something great in the next 12 to 18 months, it will just go to prove how innovative they are when we look back on this moment. So I'm with Parmesan on this.
I'm going to grow 9/11. 9/11 is bad. Just
what Signal said.
Like, don't say it's aside from 9/11. I'm not, 9/11 is bad. I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, okay, buddy. Didn't sound like it earlier. But yeah, I just want to double down on what Signal said. I completely agree. I've been in marketing my whole life, and like Utes was like an absolute masterclass on just marketing in general, much less like, you know, like marketing an NFT. And anybody that doesn't think, oh, they're just good at marketing. Dude, that's literally like the most important thing of a business is like getting the product out the door. I would rather a great marketer selling McDonald's cheeseburgers than like the best chef in the world making gourmet burgers, but no one even knows it fucking exists. Like, marketing is massively important. I think some people in the Web3 space don't think marketing is important because they're just on Twitter talking to 3,000 other people that are keeping the floor price up. But like, marketing does matter. Being good at marketing does make money.
Agree, kicks.
Yo, get a little deeper in that voice for me, buddy. I want to get you real down low.
Yo, there you go.
Thanks, baby.
I like the song that we heard for a moment from Nick. I feel like he was getting ready to really create. We got Quad with his hand raised, then Spencer. Then I want to throw to Mr. Long for the Discord roundup. And then, of course, speak with our special guest. Quad, go ahead.
Yeah, obviously I'm not going to argue that you didn't do a masterclass in marketing, but there's one thing that I also like to back up marketing, and that's execution. And Signal, you mentioned bringing new people into the space. I don't think this is a good experience for a new person. I think the application process is just fine. You know, somebody in their application writes, "Hey, I don't really know about Web3, but my friends are in it, and they said Utes is a really good project from D Gods," and they end up getting a spot, right? And then they mint it for an ETH or a couple ETH or whatever. And now they're sitting there and they're asking their buddies, "Hey man, when does this reveal? And the founder CEO goes, "Oh, it'll reveal when it reveals." How is this a good experience for new people if this is their first project? Like we said, that this is touted to bring a lot of people into the Solo ecosystem. So I just
it's a pile of cash, Quad. They made a 4x. And here's the thing. When it reveals, the price is going to go down by 50%. So if anything, bro, Frank is doing 10X. Them justice.
I just think we have to hold projects to a little bit higher standard other than just price go up. We've seen this all the time. And I know that's what everybody wants in terms of like price go up, make profits. But I also want to invest in projects like we're saying long-term holds. And I think this is part of Spencer's issue is like, "Hey, cool, great, I'll take my 5X. But if I'm not a 2-day investor and I want to be a year investor, maybe this isn't the project." And then, you know, I don't know if there are any projects on yep. Sol that are those.
Bring out the accountability, people. We're about to have to get some pitchforks and start stabbing people because we need more accountability against these you people. They're disrespecting. They're out here disrespecting, and this is just bullshit. I'm getting tired of this. I don't just want the floor to 5X. I want them to deliver me diamonds directly to my house because I spent, how much was it? $70, a couple hundred dollars. Okay, I spent, was it actually more? I don't even know the exact amount. But nonetheless, get out the pitchforks.
Signal, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, no, it was just to get back to Quad. Quad, my point wasn't that. I was using the example of Utes as a project that has brought or could potentially bring people from the outside into the space, so we increase the number of participants. I think people think that more work needs to be done on the technology in order for more people to come in. So for example, like we talk about the UI is getting better, we talk about security being easier to do. I agree, but people don't come into a space because that technology is like easy to use. They come into the space because other people talk about it and there's hype and there's conversation and interesting things are happening there. Like the technology right now is quite, you know, it's still quite tricky, but we're all here. So if there was strong marketing behind a project, people would come in and be like, "Regardless of this fiddly technology, I'm still interested in." And I was just talking about the fact that Utes did a really good example of if you do marketing right, you can have conversations with your friends and say, "This is happening. Maybe you should take a look." And the conversation is not about technology.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with Signal for sure. My thing is, I think a lot of people were upset that they didn't make the Ute list. And so then when there was any turbulence on the Ute's journey, they are so down to like dunk on Utes. I'm seeing it in the Twitter comments right now. I'm seeing it in the Discord right now. People like really are interested in dunking on Utes. The bottom line is this whole period is like, the whole thing from beginning to end with the Utes like mania has been like a month, right? So they just raised funding. They're not going anywhere. They have a war chest of funds anyway from D Gods and now from Utes. I don't really see any situation where in a year everyone's just like, "Yeah, it was all like a marketing ploy." But let me throw it easy real quick.
Sounds like you have a real war chest after selling yours.
And I want to remind everyone on this show, you know, we like to give both sides, okay? Because I saw some people saying that they're FUDing. No, people are giving different opinions on whether they think that, you know, the action is positive versus negive. Easy, and yeah, then we'll
I'd
throw
love
to
hear to Easy in his answer. What in a year with that work test, what are they going to do? Like, what are they going to produce of value? I guarantee it's going to be nothing.
That's fine. Like, dude, at the same time, like, this FUD is stuff I hear all day. Like, when you are on Solana and active in that community, everything that's being said on stage is amplified 300% through memes and conversation. Like, Sol is ruthless, plain and simple. And they're extremely vocal about everything. So all the delays, all this disappointment, it's been echoed probably 1,000 times what we're hearing up here. But then even Jesse, like, what you're saying, like, oh, yeah, let's see what they deliver in a year. They raised $7 million for a SaaS company that doesn't have a product yet. So clearly they have plans to deliver something, you know, like you're not going to raise $7 million without a plan and a path forward. And that's why they raised Dust for the Mint. Like, it wasn't like they were raising Sol. They didn't take Solana out of the ecosystem. They quite literally rewarded holders better than any project I've ever seen. Because if you kept your DGods, you minted one of these for literally zero plus an ample amount of money that you could have sold the Dust token for. And now that Dust token was used in the equity round, giving it some valuation behind that. And once emissions stop at the end of the year, it eliminates the security risk behind DGods. So there's just a ton of moving parts. But like, I think it's completely, completely out of left field to even think that they're not going to deliver something when there's a $7 million raise for a SaaS company.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a weird take to be like, they're going to deliver nothing, like right after they raised $7 million and they had a bunch of money and they got a young team and they're clearly able to execute. We've been talking about the marketing left and right, but what we haven't talked about is even though there's clearly some sort of error right now on the engineering side, before that, their reputation was, you know, strong engineering and like quote unquote innovation, you know, when it came to like rolling out NFT stuff. I want to throw to Spencer, then back to Jesse.
Yeah, so I want to just like, so I've been pretty transparent about that. I minted and immediately sold my Utes. And like, there's a couple of reasons why, but it was, I felt really good about it after hearing the spaces actually Easy that you hosted with Frank, where he was like, yeah, like, you know, we are really good at getting attention on the project. And like, this is a game of attention economy. And like, the you know, the plan is that there will be more attention on the project. And I think that like, it's just challenging for me to hear a founder speak that way about their project when like, and yeah, maybe they'll deliver something, but like they can't deliver a reveal. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's not a huge technological feat.
Did you read the Substack article he just put out like 48 hours ago, 72 hours ago?
I haven't read the most recent one, but
he addresses literally everything you're discussing here about how Occult's not sustainable and how they need to get past this from a marketing standpoint to actually continue to build out an ecosystem and a community. So it's like all of your concerns that you're addressing here, I feel like the team has directly answered, and yet now we're still talking in circles about stuff that they've tried to face.
I mean, I'm basing this off of the conversations that I've heard him talking about in public forums.
So. Forget about the reason why they can't reveal is the art isn't done yet. They have to finish the art, and then they can reveal it.
But then why they mint it? It's just it makes no sense to me.
I literally can't believe we're having this conversation. I can't believe what I'm hearing from Signal and Case. We've been talking for 3 months about how all of this is falling to nothing because no one can actually deliver anything. And now all of a sudden we're back to just marketing. The end of just marketing is a Ponzi. It's a disaster. It ends in zero.
Yeah.
And marketing is underrated Ponzi. For artists. Artists need to get better at marketing. Yet coding purists like that have a great product, they need to get better at marketing. But saying you raising $7 million off of vaporware, Nick's seen this before 5 years ago. You could get $7 million 5 years ago just saying you were going to do the next SaaS B2B. You throw out a bunch of words, TAM, and you could get $7 million. But I thought the whole last 3 months we've been talking about how nobody does anything. I don't know what any of these projects Doodles has built. You know, has raised money. What the fuck is a duplicator? Can someone tell me what a duplicator is? Because unless you're duplicating my fucking ETH, sounds like a total bullshit.
I mean, bro, we can go down the list. It took Moon 60 days to reveal. What have they delivered besides soft staking and fanny packs? Like, we can.
But why is
this
different?
List.
This is my whole point. Is this? It feels like this is the Sol version.
But at least.
Yo, we can't have like six people talking at the same time.
No, look, I got my finger on the trigger to step in. I thought it was okay. Go ahead, Spencer.
So like, here's the thing though. I agree. And I look like a lot of this space is like some form of Ponzi and there's like this thing that comes after this thing. And like clearly the next step in the Utes thing is that there's a reveal. But like one of my biggest challenges with Utes too is they already dropped their token. Like they didn't like understand that you need to the promise of a token at some point in the ecosystem to bolster the price throughout. Like that, because there's different liquidity in the token market, right? So if you look at like, I don't care the utility Moonbirds deliver, except that it's A16Z backed and A16Z has the exchanges, which means their token will be exchange listed day one, right? That's the utility to me, is, and that's how I think I'm going to get my return, because I understand where we're at in that Ponzi. I don't think that the Ponzi of Utes like makes a lot of sense to me, because they already released the token. And so it's just like they did it in the wrong order in my view.
Spencer has given his take. I want to throw, I mean, Nick, go ahead, but I got to hear from Mike on this too.
Look, there's a punk on stage, and that's how the order goes here. Okay, I've had enough of these other people speaking. So the in terms of the tokens, though, that's like something that ApeCoin is doing, though. At the same time, it's like, man, everyone's take is relatively arbitrary and it's temporary usually with most of these things. Like when I look at ApeCoin, for example. What exactly is the math? Like, how does the math work out here? So basically, I'm going to buy this thing, which gives me the right. It doesn't guarantee you to get airdrop more tokens. Owning a mutant or owning an ape gives you the ability to go buy tokens and stake them and generate yield. But the problem is like when you, what you're basically saying is we're about to give more supply. I don't mean to pivot away from Utes, but the main point is that there's across the board, there's unsustainable activities that are taking place.
Nick, if I could jump in real quick on the ApeCoin thing. Actually, the play with the ApeCoin is that if you stake it to earn the yield and then you also short the same amount that you staked, then the yield is just free money.
Nick, maybe you should learn a little bit more about investing, bro.
How do you short? I see what you're saying. So can I just short Ape on like DYDX?
Yeah, you can short Ape on like FTX, and there's a couple of platforms where you can short it. I've been looking for one that's a DEX, but I haven't found one yet. But you can short it on FTX for sure.
Well, I can't get an FTX
free
account.
Money plates have never ended in disaster before.
Well, look, Micah G has his hand raised. Micah G is probably the most active person on Solana on this stage besides Easy. I'd love to hear his take.
Well, yeah, this is more specifically on the stuff that Frank wrote in his blog that kind of scared me about Utes. And it was just specifically, I think we've talked about this before, when you release a lot of NFT projects, you suddenly have a lot of mouths to feed, right? Like you have a lot of children you have to take care of. And in his article, he had a specific part where it's like, the originally all the value was derived to these D gods, then the value went to people who had deaded their D gods, so dead gods. He said now the value accrues to dead gods who have minted their Ute. But importantly in the article, he even said it's not, you don't even have to still have the Ute. It's just that I'm going to deliver the most value to people who have minted their Ute, and then they're free to sell it off. So that scared me a lot about Utes, because it's like, he's not even going like how Bored Ape Yacht Club and Yuga have this structure where mutants get some utility and apes get more. It seems he's directly saying Utes is a, we'll do something with it, but it's kind of an exit liquidity or a chance to get liquidity for dead gods holders, but those are my children. Those are the people I'm going to focus on delivering utility to. So that scared me a lot from a investing in Utes, is that even if you believe in Frank, if you believe in that team, if you want to be one of their children that really gets fed, you need a dead god that's minted a Ute. You do not need a Ute. So that was like the first thing that sort of alarm bells went off in terms of, is this going to pay off for me long-term holding one? And his article actually kind of states, or seems to state to me, that his children, his priority is going to be dead gods, even more so than Yuga with Bored Apes versus Mutant Apes.
All I'm hearing is words, Mike. I think you were just looking for an excuse to sell. Just like P.O. So guess no, it. Let me finish.
You're that punk bitch Danny.
Get out of here.
Well, are you mad because you and Easy agreed to not sell yours and now you're stuck with them?
I'm not selling. Yo, I ain't selling anything. I don't care. There may be a FUD storm coming through right now, but you know what? I don't give a shit, because suddenly we're like giving an analysis of why, like, why this team is not going to execute or they're diluting it or fundamentally we disagree. Basically, every NFT project is fucking up. So I don't like which one is you're just like, and the more that they add, the more unsustainable this whole system gets, basically. Like I think of ApeCoin. Okay, now we're setting up a system which is incentivizing us to short the token. I don't I get what you're saying, Spencer. So, okay, cool. I'm like yielding this. If the price goes down, then theoretically the price should just go towards nullifying my entire position if that's where we're headed with this whole thing. So my point still stands with that. And I think with a lot of these different things that we're doing right now is in by and large, a large number of these projects are essentially houses of cards where we're just adding fake utility on top of that token.
I mean, that's my point. Then Easy can round it out. I'm sure you want to move on, PO. But my point is just that, yeah, this is consistent. Easy. I mean, it seems like the Sol people are taking that. They have this insecure little brother system. Why are you fudding? It's like, you know, I've been saying this about ETH projects forever. The only reason I'm bringing it up with regard to Utes and Frank is because I see these, you know, long threads from like NFT God, like, oh, here's the 10 reasons that, Frank, you know, changed the game. And then I look and it's like 10 marketing hacks. And it's like, that's still amazing, right? If it was so easy to do, right, anybody else would have built a multi-million-dollar empire. So he deserves a ton of credit. But I mean, I just don't see why it's different than any of the other projects that is likely to fail.
I want to hear from Easy. We're going to move on in a second. I'll kind of put a button on it after Easy goes.
Yeah, I just want to kind of emphasize too, like, yes, the execution here has been absolutely horrid considering we still don't have a reveal and everything that went south with the mint. But like, it's, I don't know, like for me, just listening to this, we've talked about this so many times, and like in the Sol spaces, all of this FUD has been just reiterated and reiterated. But I want to kind of hit Micah's point too. Micah, they've also emphasized with a variety of infographics that the ones that are going to get rewarded the most are the ones who hold dead gods and utes. So like, there's definitely plans for it. But maybe it is bag talk bias here, and maybe I'm just sipping on hopium. But I mean, at this point, all we're gonna do is kind of just wait till we do get a reveal at this point, because nothing's really gonna change.
Dead gods are like 300 something right now, right? So from a just in pure investment perspective, if you believe in Frank, doesn't it make sense to just do the 2x rather than committing to a ute that he's been a lot less strong about? Like, oh, this is gonna be something you want to hold. Like, doesn't it seem like he's basically saying dead gods is the biggest thing? So at the current floor price, doesn't make more sense to go there?
Yeah, it's like the Bored Ape to Mutant Ape conversation. And also, Micah, I hope that you sold your ute for medical bills, considering you drank out of a shoe and the fungus.
That's what I said. I had to cover. It's called, you got to hedge your bets there, and I had to cover to get some medical money for when, you know, the funguses pop up in my lungs or something.
There you go. And so real quick, to put a bow on Utes, I put a tweet out yesterday that was just the sentence, there are legitimate Web3 businesses like 20 times, like just however many characters Twitter let me fit. I just put that message, that tweet out. And if Utes/DustLab/DGods is not one of those legitimate Web3 businesses, then I don't know what is. They just secured venture funding. They've been in the game for a full calendar year. Yes, they're good at marketing. I think it's a little weird, and it's weird to hold that against them. So we're going to see how all these legitimate Web3 businesses play out. Because it was brought up 20 times, I will just acknowledge it. The reason that I sold my ute is not that anything that has to do with utes or Frank or DGods. It's because I've been around the block in the NFT space. I've been making content in the NFT space since March 2021. And I've received multiple six-figure airdrops, including one like $250,000 airdrop. And that's not an exaggeration, folks. Literally $250,000 given to me for free because of investment decisions I had made over the past year. And I elected to hold those. And it would have been a better decision for me to sell those, wait, actually hold revenue generated from the sale, the profits generated from the sale in USD and buy in later. And so that's exactly what the plan has been for me with Utes. If I get punished, it is what it is. But at the same time, if I have to buy in for like another $1,000 or $2,000 more, I'm down to do that. But I just have been around the block in NFTs, and I know that post-reveal, people sell the common NFTs at like a massive loss or like, you know, 50% of the current floor. So I'm just going to buy it there because I don't want to gamble on a rare. So that's my personal thing. Last thing, I mentioned, I've been making content in the NFT space since March 2021, so I've seen reactions from the audience a lot when it comes to NFTs. It's a full year and a half going on 2 years of this. If you're getting really, really mad while we discuss a project, then you need to understand that that's because you own the project or you have some sort of vested interest in the project, in the asset. And that all that means is that either your conviction isn't deep enough, which is okay, because it's really hard to have deep conviction in these digital assets that have only been around for a couple of months, or in some cases, a little bit more than a year. But I just want to make sure you know that's what's happening. And on this show, we're always going to hear both sides, right? We're going to hear one take versus another take. We're going to hear the good. We're going to hear the bad, because number one, no one knows what the fuck's going on. And number two, you got to hear all angles on a quote unquote argument. So I want to hear from Bell that just came on stage. Then I got to hear from Gene P. I'm sure he's going to have another risky joke for us. And then we're going to go to Mr. Long and then our special guest. So we'll lighten up the mood with Mr. Long after this this heated debate, which is totally fine for this show. And I didn't think that it got off the rails. And if it did,
I would have laid the hammer down.
I'll come through with a head kick on MFers that are letting things go off the rails. But Bell, go ahead.
Hey, so my comment was on youths, but not so much just on youths. I think that now that you've wrapped up that segment, it applies really to everything. And the one thing that struck me when I read Frank's blog was how he started it, right? And he started the entire blog about how stressed out really he was and how he hasn't been able to spend that much time with his mom. That is the thing that I took from it, because I think that the perspective that we haven't talked about this is the unrealistic expectations, both from the consumer as well as from the founders. It's one of those things that you see happen again and again and again, that a founder gets so hyped up by himself or by the community, and they hurry up. You know, it's one of those scenarios where they hurry up to just sit and wait. The fact that the art wasn't already 100% developed and that they're having hiccups, etc., you know, I give him and any other founder the credit of the doubt, and that there are some things that can't be controlled 1,000%. But what about those things that possibly could have been controlled and that could have been ready had you not been in a tremendous hurry to do so? And I don't say that in a negative way. I say that in a way to just know that people can wait. We need to, as consumers and, you know, as the community, be able to learn how to wait. Quality over quantity, 1,000% is always the way that I'm going to go. So that, I just wanted to bring that up.
Hey, great point, Bell. Thank you for coming on stage to bring that up. Gene Parmesan, you have your hand raised. Then we'll throw to Mr. Long for the Discord roundup.
Wow. Yeah. I just realized you can make your hand the same color as you. That's really, really amazing feature. I just want to say, taking it away from Utes, I do agree with Jesse. And also didn't, I mean, I didn't realize I'm looking at Jesse's profile. I mean, this, you know, he looks like a white Michael Jordan. I mean, this hair or lack thereof is just amazing. And, you know, I think that what he's really saying is, what are NFTs, right? Like, it goes back to the idea that, you know, like, I agree. Like, once you saw with Goblin Town, something can capture the market, the attention economy, and go to 10 ETH, 9 ETH. And then once the attention economy has moved on, you know, like a swarm of locusts that all the NFT community is, it goes down to 1 ETH. And so I see what he means there. And I think it's just a matter of, like, you know, NFTs have kind of gone through, sped through all these different moves, right? Oh, we'll give you free NFTs. Oh, you can stake. We'll give you merch. We're going to announce a video game. We're going to announce an announcement that we're announcing a video game. And I think it's just, you know, he's right. Like, what are NFTs going to be long term? And I think that's just that. But that doesn't apply just to use. That applies to everything, right? Like, I think you're right, Pio, in saying that you're almost penalizing them for being good at, you know, a really, really important thing. And, you know, it's the same thing we're all trying to figure out. Like, where are these things going to be long term? Are they going to be, you know, gated communities? Are they going to be sort of like cultural assets, like Bored Apes and like CryptoPunks? Like, what are they really going to be long term? And, like, that's why we're all here. Like, we're trying to figure that out.
There you go. So that's the button on the Utes discussion. Hey, I didn't have that on the bingo card this morning. I didn't roll out of bed this morning, you know, start making my coffee, walk Sapphire, and think, yeah, we're going to talk about Utes for a solid 30 minutes on the show today. But I'm glad we did. Sorry, Kix.
I agree, man. Fuck Utes, fuck NFTs, right?
No, that's not what I was saying, but I'm glad that we
heard. I'm with you, dude. Fuck this space, dude. I'm over it, you know? I'm selling everything.
Well, me and Kix were talking about, dude, there's actually something no one's talking about in the space, which is people that bought Chromie Squiggles for 0.3 ETH, and they have the nerve to list them at 11 ETH. I'm not buying that off of you for 11 ETH if you paid 0.3 ETH for it. I'll buy it off you for 3 ETH. How about that, right, Kix?
They're like used car salesmen.
They're like used greedy. Car salesmen. They're greedy, man.
Absolutely, you know?
So what should the ape holders do? Like, is it undeserving for me to sell my ape for like for a major uptick?
What'd you pay for
like point four ETH or something like that?
You paid 0.4 ETH for your ape.
Yeah.
What would you want to be selling it for?
Whatever the price is right now.
So what's that? Like 80 ETH, 90 ETH, 100 ETH?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I mean, it's not even your PFP, so I'll give you 50 for it. It's obviously not that valuable.
So you think I shouldn't even be able to get more than like 20 ETH out of it?
Yeah, obviously.
I would buy it off of you for I'd buy it off you for 6 ETH because you paid 0.4 ETH for it. So, I mean, that's more than enough profit, is it not?
Okay.
I mean, who do you think you are? You deserve all that profit?
I mean, I feel like I do, but I don't know. And now you're telling me that I don't. So I guess that makes a little bit of sense.
Nick, I'll trade you this shrimp for it.
Perfect.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, to lighten the mood a little bit before we speak with our guest speaker, let's throw to Mr. Long, valued member of the Nifty Portal community, for the Discord roundup. Mr. Long, what's going on, amigo?
Ring, ring, ring. Oh, here we go again. P.O., you're getting a phone call. You better pick it up. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, Peter, it's your mom. Hey, guess what? It's your mom.
Got hey, him. Mom.
Oh, man. Got him good.
Oy! Alley-oop, Nifty.
Jesus
Nick
Christ.
Slamming it down. Pio never saw you coming. That ain't no old man pickleball. That's them Globetrotters, y'all. We got you good, Pio. Thank you kindly, Nick. I'm high-fiving my phone. All right, now let's get serious. It's time for the Discord roundup. Let's start with the biggest news in Web3. I don't think we covered it yesterday. Cue the applause. We have a new portal member, and it's in the form of a newborn baby child. I'm talking about baby Benjamin, who was born on Monday. Let's give the Jammin family a round of applause.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
That was the wrong button. It was supposed to be claps, but go ahead.
Congratulations. Yeah.
There it is.
Congratulations to our brother, Ben. And let's make sure those portal hoodies come in newborn size. Now, speaking of procreation, I'd like to give a Discord shout out to a guy that's in there day and night. It's Test Tube Ted. Now, I'm assuming his name is a reference to his origins as a test tube baby. And I think that is wonderful. In fact, Ted, if you're passionate about the cause of reproduction, come down to the ranch. We'll have you do the Lord's work of artificially inseminating some of these cows, creating calves. Test tubes may be a little larger than you're used to, but we'd love to have you. Anyone on stage ever witness the process? It's a beautiful process.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead and Google it, but mind the safe search. Let's get this one back on the rails. Two more shout-outs. He made it from the Discord to the big stage. It's Gene Parmesan, a.k.a. Big Cheese, a.k.a. Yo Sorry and Not Sorry, a.k.a. Twinkle Toes, tiptoeing the fine line of appropriate jokes. What about sweepstakes? I see him out there. Let me tell you, this guy loves a good ribeye paired with a Coors and a nice after-dinner degen mint. My kind of guy. Let's talk about some projects, shall we? Put on your preservers and board your designated lifeboats, or just find a floating door. The SS Ranga has struck an iceberg. We're taking on water, and we're going down, y'all. S-O-freaking-S. Good golly. In other maritime news, San Origin is setting sail. That's S-A-N Origin, which may have some ties to 10KTF. I don't know if that's fact or rumor, but we're looking into it. QQL looks pretty neat. It's by Tyler Hobbs, who created them fidenzas. But this time it's random dots instead of random lines. And we can all participate. Look in the mirror. You're an artist now. Thanks, Tyler. Atari is back with a new cash grab. No surprise from a company that once filed for bankruptcy. And this is the last one. We're still talking heads, thanks to Signal. It has been pumping for a few days now, but it's got a cowboy hat trait, so it is Mr. Long approved. Remember, the collection is by the creator of Rare Peepees. And I agree with what Jesse said yesterday. I don't know how we didn't get a tip from Pio. He's supposedly the king of peepees. Where's the alpha partner? It's your dang profile picture, ain't it? Answer the people, compadre.
Well, thank you very much for the Discord roundup, Mr. Long. As usual, that was fantastic. Bringing a little bit of a light touch to the show. A lot of updates regarding community members and test tubes. That was interesting. Signal, go ahead before I throw to our special guest.
We should have a standing ovation for the Discord roundup for Mr. Log. I'm always tearing and laughing like out loud in my house. I think you have some of the funniest jokes and analogies. So much love to you. Tiny little bit of an update on heads. The public mint is today happening at 1 p.m. PDT or 8 p.m. UTC. I don't think there's much left. I think it's about 850, I believe, have already been minted. 890 have been minted, and the total supply is 1,000. So this could be a bot situation. Keep your eyes on the markets.
There you go. Keep your eyes on the market. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special
ring, ring. Hey, ring, ring.
It's your mom, Pio. Got him. Oh.
Got him.
Very nice. So, ladies and gentlemen, assuming I don't get interrupted by a phone call from my mom again, we have a very special guest today, the co-founder of SushiSwap and, you know, one of the former leaders of the organization, now full-time at Layer Zero. Absolute badass, OX Maki is on stage. OX Maki, thank you for joining us. How's it going?
Hey, Pio, it's going very well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. You know, we're very excited to have you. And the subject that we wanted to discuss with you is the Ethereum merge, which is now behind us. A lot of people had, suggested that the Ethereum merge is basically one of the biggest events in the history of crypto, literally the biggest event since the advent of Ethereum, maybe since, you know, the introduction of Solana into the ecosystem. But nonetheless, really big deal to switch from proof of work to proof of stake for Ethereum. I would love to maybe just start it off seeing, how you feel about the merge now that it's behind us, what you think, kind of future impact it can have is. And then I know we have some people that are a lot more technical than me, like Nifty Nick and others on stage that'll probably have some really good questions for you. If you could just kind of start with how you feel the merge went and where we're at with it, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, to give some context, by the way, I think the merge has always been talked about ever since I kind of stumbled upon Ethereum. It's been like a topic of discussion. Like the transition to POW to POS basically was a topic of discussion since forever. And, the transition went very smoothly. To be fair, like there have been, I think that was their like over like, you know, fifth or 10th rehearsal in the entire kind of the team kind of involved and so on. They had like multiple countless test nets and so on. So I was not surprised about this. The Beacon chain has been running for a while. Actually, if you remember correctly, you could stake your ETH for quite some time. We still don't have any kind of, information about when people are going to be able to withdraw or, on stake. And, this is what kind of everyone is kind of looking for next, I think. Now that the merge is, effective, we're seeing kind of the emission of ETH, like, literally, like, plumbing. Like, basically, like, it's a 3x kind of halving against Bitcoin inflation, which is, like, crazy. It's going to take 8 years for BTC to kind of to catch up to like the level of inflation of Ethereum, which is insane. But regardless, anyways, personally, like what I was actually the most surprised about is some people were entertaining kind of, like NFTs remaining on the POW chain and everything. And, like ultimately, I think everyone kind of realized, well, like there's absolutely no future in kind of in this other chain. It dumped like extremely quickly and so on. And now nobody's talking about it. Everyone is just transacting as usual on the chain and everyone is happy, I think, ultimately. So that's pretty good news for everyone involved, for all communities, from DeFi users to NFTs users to DAOs and so on. So overall, like a great success. And to be honest, like they've been working hard on this for like many years. So very proud of everyone involved.
So no surprise that it went off without a hitch. You talked about Bitcoin, for example, needing two halving cycles. It sounds like 8 years, two halving cycles, you know, to catch up. I'd be curious, what do you think about the future of Ethereum now that it's proof of stake, you know, against the future of Bitcoin, which is obviously going to stay proof of work? You know, how do you think the two entities, you know, kind of play out now that this has happened?
First of all, like let's give some points for why proof of work is actually like you know, interesting and, you know, like useful. I do think, you know, like in theory, like this was a way to kind of lower the barrier initially. You know, the idea was that everyone with, you know, a computer could just like mine some Bitcoin out of, you know, where they were living and so on, with, you know, like very extreme constraint. You know, Bitcoin mining evolved into like something that, you know, only like industrial player could afford, or, you know, like obvious with a lot of money and time and so on, because now you need like, you know, specialized equipment. On the side of Ethereum, what is interesting is they never had like the same kind of encryption hash. So basically, like, you didn't need like ASIC. At the very end, you know, some, you know, manufacturer were able to do so, but you usually like people were mining with GPUs, so which is still kind of, I wouldn't say affordable, but, you know, accessible for like the retail market and the public in general. What I would have loved to see, actually, like instead of like going from directly proof of stake to proof of work, like I would have loved to see like, I don't know, 5 or 10% emissions still going to these hobbyists, just because, well, like you have this conundrum where now like people with money earn more money, right? And you need like at least 30 to eat and so on. So that creates like some issues. But overall, like, I do think like the gains of proof of stake, where, you know, like anyone with basically like, you know, like a $1,000 computer now, like a Nuke, can run like a full node, like staking and so on, with, you know, like 100% like uptime, 8% or 6%, you know, returns on their ETH, is pretty awesome in itself. There's also like the whole consideration about like how more green this is. So, you know, like the whole kind of electricity consumption in the world dropped, you know, by a few bips, I think Vitalik tweeted about, which is, you know, like insane when you think about this. This is also have like some repercussion on the GPU market, right? So now everyone that wants to buy, you know, NVIDIA cards or, you know, other GPUs will now be able to do so without any kind of shortage. So that's like a massive, outcome, personally, for like people in general. So anyways, just to say like that basically like POS is, in my opinion, like, of course, like better overall. I do think, you know, compromise are always the best. So, you know, I wish they could have, you know, kept, I don't know, 5-10% of the network like under POW. But, you know, this would have been like way more complicated to implement and so on. Like, it's already in itself like, you know, like a massive undertaking to have like 6 different client coordinating, validating like the same kind of blockchain and so on, without the blockchain going down at any moment. This is a big reminder that, you know, like Ethereum has never went down, even during like DDoS period. So anyways, that's kind of my takeaway, is I think it's way more positive than the negative. And people that are like against kind of the whole, I don't know, like proof of work being like less, I don't know, less impactful is crazy in my opinion. But anyways,
I think I had the wrong mic. So if you were, so you said you were working at SushiSwap before, you'd co-founded that. What are you doing now?
Yeah. So before, yeah, I was at Sushi before, kind of, you know, help kind of during like the first year and so on. Now I'm at Layer Zero, which is basically like, it's very crazy how I kind of stumbled upon Layer Zero, because I actually like invested in some of the competition before like meeting them, and basically like seeing that they, in my opinion, like kind of cracked the problem of everything related to omni-chains, multiple network, kind of transiting between, like, for example, like I was hearing like earlier people were talking about Solana. Well, like, you know, what if I told you in the future, potentially very soon, you will be able to basically don't even discern wherever the NFT is. I do think at some point, you know, like things are going to get so blurred about like, where is this living on, like the NFT, or, you know, like which kind of say we were just transitioning with stable coins here, which is not the case for NFTs, by the way. Like, it's mainly denominated in, you know, in ETH and SOL, etc. But, you know, if you were using a stablecoin theory, like, you could just be buying off of OpenSea, Magic Eden, and all these marketplaces without even knowing which chain the NFT is on. Why? Because the NFT in itself could be, like, omnichain. What does it mean for NFT to be omnichain? You just saw kind of basically Arbitrum, like OpenSea and Arbitrum kind of going live together. This means that if you add, like, an NFT on Ethereum, you could possibly, like, just list it over there without, like, it leaving your wallet on ETH, or, you know, you could send it over there, have, like, more potentially, like, transaction volume. If we think about things like PseudoSwap, which is kind of AMM for NFT, not sure if everyone is familiar with it, I assume so, but basically, like, more volume could occur because, like, the transaction fees are lower than on ETH on mainnet. That's why, you know, like, Solana has been so dominant on trading volume across the board for NFTs, even though, like, you would say, like, well, like, all the main collection or blue chips are all on ETH. Are they able to kind of sustain this one? Well, it's because the transaction fees are way lower. So with kind of, you know, things like Arbitrum, Optimism, Layer 2s, etc., like, we are about to see the same thing happening for collections that are, like, you know, available on these Layer 2 chain. And, you know, basically, like, Layer 0 enabled this for NFT collection. You could also think about use cases like where, you know, if I was to transfer, like, my NFT, the metadata could change based on the chain where it is. So, for example, you know, like, I don't know, accent color on the NFT or feature or traits could be changing based on where the NFT lives itself. There's, you know, other use cases. There's also, like, kind of potentially, like, rewarding users or doing season with kind of, like, the blockchain kind of hosting the NFT. But, yeah, that's kind of, we're getting a little bit advanced here.
And what's the benefit of this to the average NFT collector?
So for the average NFT collector, if we're talking, like, security and so on, like, I do think remaining on ETH makes sense. But in theory, like, if everyone was to move, you know, on one of these layer twos, on Solana, whatever, like, the cost would outweigh, in my opinion, like, kind of, like, the benefits, like, the cost of transacting and so on could make sense. We would also be seeing, like, in the case of layer twos, like, the security is, you know, inherited by Ethereum. So in theory, like, you still have, like, the same amount of security while, you know, like, being able to be cheaper, like, you know, you could offer, like, experience that is, like, not possible. So, for example, think about NFT gaming, right? Then you could have, like, multiple kind of action for, you know, pennies on the dollar, basically, like, across these kind of layer twos. Think about, like, DFK and things like that. Well, like, they were on Harmony, correct? They couldn't have been on mainnet Ethereum for, like, all the kind of microtransaction happening and so on, that plays with their universe, their games, and so on. So that's kind of what could be interesting. For, like, you know, an NFT, a standalone NFT, like a CryptoPunk, for example, the use case itself, like, is very minimal. Like, you know, I don't see, like, a lot of value. It's when, you know, like, you have kind of custom built, like, ONFT or, you know, like, collection that are, like, using kind of these games or, you know, utility and enhancing for the NFT that makes sense, in my opinion.
Well, thanks for the clarification. Nick, go ahead.
No, you can go.
Yeah, so I guess to kind of put a button on it with the merge, do you have any idea of where it could go in, like, the next 6 to 9 months?
So apparently, like, the next 6 months, we won't be able to still, like, unstake. There's going to be a queue also. So that means, like, even if, you know, I want to unstake the moment it is available, the way it works is people are going to be have to make a queue. So it's going to take, like, potentially, like, over a year and so on, meaning that people, say everyone wants to unstake at the same time, we won't be able to do so. That means that, you know, you won't see, like, I would say, like, a flooding or a dumping of ETH the moment, like, the withdrawals are enabled. So now, like, what is probably going to happen, and, you know, what is the most important to keep an eye on, in my opinion, is everything related to the liquid wrappers. So the things like, you know, STETH by Lido, RETH, there's multiple of them, you know, over like multiple kind of pairs. You need to look at them and see the ones that are kind of undervalued. And this is basically like instant, quote-unquote, money or yield, because they will be arbed back to parity. So that is something that is going to be very important, in my opinion, to keep an eye on. And otherwise, I do think, you know, merge related, I don't think there's anything other than this. I do think the next phase is Shanghai, like the next update. There's going to be multiple kind of things going on. But, you know, to be honest, like, I haven't tracked the latest and greatest. I think, like, the merge itself was a very big event and, you know, like, yes, lots of celebration happening.
Well, there you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was OX Maki. Thank you for joining us. Absolute jam talking about the merge. Oh, wrong one. There we go.
Damn, there son. We go. Where'd you find this?
Hit him with all of them. There we go. Thank you for joining us, OX Maki. Oh, that was dope. Nick, can you get a breaking news for me real quick?
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Massive. Massive, massive floor sweep on Azuki. And I'm looking at the activity chart on Azuki right now. Just 10 days ago, there was only one sale in the collection, only a single Azuki sale at 7.6 Ethereum. And it's basically been a piss missile up since then. It's pushing 12 Ethereum right now.
Who uses piss missile outside of you and Easy? I like this saying is something I've never heard of. What is this? And it, but yes, it has been pumping.
It's been pumping. And I mean, anybody that faded Azuki is really eating their words right now. Pushing again, 12 ETH right now. Pretty crazy. I don't know. Is Beans a play here? Is Boku Beans. The Bean Farmer?
Beans is a play. Boku the Bean Farmer for sure. This stuff's going to run. 100%. Happened last time. It's going to run.
Beans is only at one. Well, Beans looks like it's moving. I think you can probably go on Gem and sweep Beans for like 1.1 Ethereum. Feels pretty reasonable depending on where Azuki goes.
It's up from 0.56 though. I guess that's the real question. Where do you aim for with this? Just like 1.5 or something like that and make back the money that you lost with.
Is it reasonable to spend $1,800 on a picture of a bean?
If these things are going to run and it's $1,500, Eddie has got his hand raised. Eddie, something to chime in on Azuki?
Yeah, so specifically on Azuki, and I know I see Demna's in the audience, so he's going to he'll find this interesting. I think the main reason for the most recent pump, like I think part of it was I think it just kind of went too low. But I think as of the last few days, part of the speculation surrounding, so like there was a member in the community who had been kind of like not hiding, but quiet. It was Adrian Chang, I believe. And he had like kind of revealed that he owned a bunch of Azukis and was a huge fan of the project. And as of yesterday, Bloomberg Crypto noted that real estate tycoon Adrian Chang plans to raise $500 million to invest in blockchain assets. So I think there's a lot of speculation and potentially rightly so that a decent chunk of that, as well as potentially other firms, are looking to raise into Azuki. So I think there's some pretty solid speculation among whales that they're doing a pretty massive raise at the moment.
I got some other breaking news here. Renga is now down to 0.87, just absolutely getting wrecked.
Everybody's selling Renga to buy Azuki and Beans right now. That's exactly what's happening.
It's the five letter Asian word rotation.
I'm just losing money. Like this is annoying. I'm done with this, man. This is we're switching this show. This is no longer the NFT show. This is complete garbage.
What's it gonna be?
I don't know. It's gonna be something way more boring. Okay, we're gonna be talking about real estate investing opportunities and how that's the future in about 6 months. And every day we're just gonna be like, wait it out. Wait it out, okay? Just wait it out. All right.
It's going to pull back. Wait it out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. A little run on Azuki here. Massive floor sweep. I think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to announce a big funding round. Got some questions as to what announcement will come with that funding round, but we'll see. Should be some juicy stuff. As usual, we do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. EST each and every day. Shout out today to today's special guest, OX Maki, discussing the Ethereum merge. We'll be back tomorrow. Check out our NFT that's pinned to the top. Also check out the Google form that Nick posted. We're going to be doing some in-person shows. We're going to be doing a little bit of touring here at the different crypto events. So definitely fill out that form. Give us an idea what you're going to be at. We'll plan some dope events that you can come to. It'll be a lot of fun. We will catch you guys tomorrow. See you later.